Welcome back to another episode of a series recap episode. Bleacher Boys back after the Orioles series.
White Sox
series. Yankees take game one and lose the next two in the doubleheader. We're going to talk all about it. Everything from top to bottom. I think we should do some housekeeping. Yanks are down a couple guys. Gallo and Higgy are on the COVID IL. Makes no sense, though, because they test negative every single time they test, but they're feeling symptoms, so they're on the COVID IL. Chad Green and Luis Seal are undergoing Tommy John surgery, which really sucks, especially for Greeny, who we've been shitting on recently. Hey, Nick. But he's been one of the best. Like, he feels like a Dellin Betances situation where he's heading into free agency. He's been a great Yankee for us, and now he's missing a year and a half of sports. So how you doing?
I'm good. I honestly had a pretty good weekend, I'm not gonna lie.
Where were you?
I was down the shore in Times River. We were building a dock for the new boat. I did actually miss the first Yankee game with all the action.
Where's the boat right now?
The boat is up north still, and it needs a new generator. It needs a lot of fixing. Okay. So it's gonna be a little while until we get the boat down to do some fishing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know, but I'm Ken too has come with me a couple times to go fishing. Yep. I have my uncle has a little boathouse in Tom's River, and we do a lot of, like, you know, deep sea fishing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's that time of the year again, so we're pretty excited.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that. Let's get into the episode first before I start. I was going to start with a take, but, like, let's just get into the recaps first, and then maybe we'll get there.
Do you want to talk about these injuries and
I mean, COVID there's stuff? Not much to talk about. Like, I don't really understand the Gallo and Higgy stuff. At least it's a good opportunity for my guy Rob Brantley to get up there and, you know, take some nice hacks at
this
some.
This should be a great opportunity for Trevino to
play every
Most of the games.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't catch 18 innings in 90 plus.
No, that makes sense. So. No, I'm fine.
Floreal gets an opportunity too, which I thought was a little surprising. I thought they were going to call up an arm instead, but that just shows you the lack.
They did call up an arm though too. What's his name?
Ron Marinaccio, who is from
David McKay.
Oh, David McKay. You're
with
right.
With the mustache.
But they also did call Marinaccio.
They did.
Too.
They did.
Marinaccio is from Toms River, New Jersey, as well, which is where I was.
You were just checking in on him.
I was checking in on the family to see how he was. And, you know, the mental health is good. He was a little depressed about being sent down after, but, you know, he's back
up. How was his mom, Nancy?
Nancy's great.
Nancy's great.
Lovely lady.
Great to hear.
Lovely lady. Always a pleasure.
Do you check in on Anthony Volpe's family, too, or are we just...
Are they from down the shore?
Yeah, they're nearby.
No, that's not. Del Barton is not that...
I think he's from that area, though.
I didn't know that. Is he really?
Okay, let's not check that.
Anthony Volpe, birthplace.
Toms River, New Jersey, please.
Really?
I don't know.
All right, let's... Definitely from New Jersey.
Definitely. Thank you.
Jersey looking? City. No, he's from Jersey City.
Oh, I did not know that. I was making stuff up. Anyway, we can get into the episode, but... There's another thing that we should probably talk about. Oh, shit. Okay.
No, he's not.
It's the Josh Donaldson and Tim Anderson stuff. Do you want to clear that out of the way before we full dive into the games?
I mean,
or should
we?
You want to do that afterwards?
That's what the people kind of want to talk about. It's kind of weird. Like, I don't really know what the right thing to say about this is, because, like, it is kind of like a touchy subject, but, like,
we're really not in a position to be talking about how Anderson, but
So I understand with the article that, like, okay, like, he called himself Jackie Robinson. If you guys don't know, Tim Anderson in, like, a 2017 article or 2019 article called himself, like, the new Jackie Robinson. So, like, I don't think it's, like, blatantly racist, because at least it comes from somewhere. Like, if he was just calling him Jackie just based on his skin color, that's really, really messed up. But I can understand that he called him from that article. But at the same time, they're not friends, and they already have beef. So it's obviously, like, a malicious act. So, like, it's, like, obviously, like, he's just, like, He was trying to piss him off, but... You know, with the world we live in, it's always a touchy subject to bring in anything of that matter. And that's really my take on it, is that Donaldson shouldn't have said anything. Like, there's no need for him to say anything there. But I don't think he was, like, trying to be racist at all or trying to be, like, you know what I mean? I don't think it was really malicious. And I also think that Tim Anderson is very short-tempered and very emotional guy. So I think that he also looks for – he's the type of person that looks for any excuse to, like, get himself hyped for the game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's, like, shushing the Yankee fans or anything. And I don't even think the Yankee fans are really on him at all.
They're booing him a little bit.
I mean, but, like, come on. Like, New York, like, I mean, Gallo gets booed louder than that.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, that's kind of my take on it, but.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the same. I have the same take. I liked what Liam Hendricks said after the game, where he was like, you can make an inside joke when you're boys with someone, but when you guys don't like each other and it just comes off weird. Yeah. Boone was also against it. I don't know. Like, I was hooping with Tommy the other day, and he was calling himself Luca. And after I hit a bucket, I was like, all right, Luca. And like, I understand what he's trying to get at, but at the same time,
they're not.
Me and Tommy are like boys, and they've been having, like, I can understand how he's trying to piss him off, but that's just not the route to go down, especially.
I agree.
In the world we live in.
And especially, like, the wrong guy to piss off. Like, Tim Anderson is the
absolute
stud.
He just goes on,
like,
and hits a home run to win the game, basically, so.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that's all we're going to say about this issue. If Donaldson does get suspended a couple games, I will be disappointed if he gets suspended, because I feel like it's not really that deserving. But knowing how careful everyone is nowadays with everything, I'm going to assume he's going to get suspended a couple games. Mm-hmm. But honestly, that's kind of dumb, because he didn't actually, like,
it's all up to how Tim Anderson feels, though. If he really feels like he was disrespected in a racist manner, then I think they should take it seriously. But I don't know. I think Rob Manfred maybe should sit down with the two, or those two just have a private conversation to clear the air.
We'll see, though.
It is. Yeah.
We'll see.
Josh, you don't need to go there, buddy.
Yeah. But let's, you know what, let's, this is the last time we'll talk about this, so we'll leave it at that. If news comes out about it, maybe we'll mention it. But let's talk about the baseball side of things, because that is the important part.
That's most of the negatives out the way. Injuries, COVID, Donaldson. But the baseball, on the product on the field, we lose game one, or we win game one and lose the next two on the doubleheader. 7-5, 3-1, and then 5-0. We only score one run in the doubleheader, so I guess we could just go right into our segments. Do you want to do that?
Yeah. We can talk about, you know what, I'm going to start with the starting pitching today, I think.
Okay, let me get the timer out.
Yeah.
2.5, starting in 3, 2, 1, go.
So this series was actually a really interesting series. Obviously, the game gets rained out on Friday, so you have the awkward doubleheader, which is never good for the Yankees, because they just do not play well. The starting pitching, honestly, I thought was pretty damn good. J-Mo... in the first game of the doubleheader shoved. Nestor was okay. He still had a great day with 7 strikeouts. And Seve was absolutely dominant. I really want to talk about Seve in this, because this is why I wanted to start with the starting pitching. Seve, I felt, had his most important start to date, which, and what I mean by important is that he showed his, honestly, the lack for a better word, big balls. Like, every single inning he got into trouble, and every single inning he got out of it, which I think is way more important than just having an easy start. The fact that he was able to go 7 like that, I think that that's huge for his confidence. And he didn't even have all his pitches. He did not have his changeup. He did not have some of his other finishing pitches, but he found a way to work through it, and that is like the most you can ask out of a starting pitcher, which is grit. And Seve really, really showed grit. And I was, you know, I get screwed again in player of the game, because another starting pitcher that I take that has a good performance that Yankees can't score for. Nestor looked okay. I thought that he had one of his, you know, he still gave us length. He was still able to give us 5 innings, even though he allowed, you know, 6 hits, 3 earned runs. Next time he comes out, you know, he's gonna throw 7 innings, 1 run, no runs. And J-Mo is under 3 ERA for the first time in a little bit here. J-Mo continued to work his curveball as a strikeout pitch. His fastball, J-Mo has been locating his fastball very well at the top of the zone for strikeout pitches. And again, it just sucks because the Yankees offense never shows up on doubleheaders or day games. So I feel a little bad for him that he didn't get any support. But yeah, I mean, that's the main issue with this series was honestly the offense and the bullpen. So I'll read off JMO's numbers real quick. 7 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. So absolutely dominant from JMO too.
Yeah.
And that's about all I have.
What's the time at? 1 second. Perfect. Okay.
Impeccable timing by me.
I'm just going to start it right now. Okay. Starting pitching, they were amazing once again. Nestor missed on one pitch to Jose Abreu, a cutter in that kind of was up a little bit, I guess. Not a terrible pitch, I would say. But Jose Abreu clips him for 3 there. But he managed to go through the next 2 innings clear. I think he was near at the end of the line there when he gave up the home run. Gave up a couple hits after too. Thought he might be done, but he goes 2 more, strikes out the side in the 5th. Ends the day strong, which was nice to see. And it says something when Nestor has a bad game and it's 3 runs and we're sitting here talking about how he will definitely bounce back.
Like, yeah.
We've come a long, long way. His ERA balloons to 1.8, still leading the league. So
yeah,
there's that. Nestor's fine.
Not worried about him.
When the Yankee pitchers have a bad game, it's usually 5 innings, 3 runs, 6 innings, 3 runs. Not worried at all. Onto the doubleheader. Starting pitching was even better then. Tyone, you talked about, had a really good game. His fastball got up to 97, which I've rarely seen. His slider, curveball combo was good. Cutter, sinker, everything was working for him. He said it in the post-game press conference that was the best he's felt in a while. So Tyone is really surprising me, kind of. I don't think we're expecting too much out of Tyone, but somehow he's just right there, 2.95 ERA. We never taken him player of the game pick, so kind of he probably feels a little disrespected by Bleacher Boys, but maybe a reason why he's playing so well right now. Sevy, that looked like 2017 Sevy. He was busting players up with a high fastball, high velocity fastballs, and his slider looked really, really good. I haven't seen that type of slider since before the injury, so really excited to see Sevy, especially when he's like roaring on the mound. Bases loaded, no outs, he gets out of it. 2 ground balls and a strikeout. I mean, it was really exciting, but there are some other aspects of the Yankee team right now that aren't clicking as well, that kind of put a downer on this. But if you look at starting pitching alone, they gave up, 1 run in the doubleheader and then 3 runs on game 1. So
yeah,
really nothing you could say about how well the starting pitching's still going. Look at that.
Perfect timing again. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think the starting pitching has been the backbone of this team. And they continue to show how much depth they have, and everyone seems to be getting better, which is the thing is that like they all started off, you know, looking a little weak because of the shortened spring training, but they just continue to get better every start. And yeah, I really have been seeing that with JMO, and I know I kind of like shit talked JMO last time saying he's like the
number 5
fifth starter, but I mean, man, his stuff looked good.
Yeah,
and
it's like the first time I was like watching him and I was like, oh, he has plus stuff.
Yeah, when his curveball is going right, I think that's one of the best wipeout pitches in the AL. I mean, it really off a shelf. Yeah, so, really impressed with JMO's outing. Also, good pitch calling too. I thought by Trevino.
He
was calling a good game. I thought that every time went to the high fastball.
I think he was paired up with Brantley.
Was he? No, because that was game 1. Game 1 was Trevino.
Oh, you're talking about Tyone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought that every time they were mixing up the 2-strike count pitches, so they were like really going with the high and away. Sometimes they're going the low and inside. I really liked what I saw from JMO this time, and I only got to watch parts of this game, but I was really impressed with what I saw from him. So,
yeah,
we can go to the next part if you want.
Where's our next part? Where are you taking us?
I kind of want to do the save the bad for last, so I think I'm going to go with the Yankees offense first, because I still think the Yankee here, you can start it right now. I mean,
started.
Here's the thing. Yankees offense has been carrying this team over the course of this early season and the winning stretch. So, like, you can't say, oh fuck, the offense is terrible now, and like, you know, give up on them. Like, they're allowed to have series where they don't hit.
Yeah.
And let me just remind you, they faced one of the most in the second game of the doubleheader, they faced one of the nastiest pitchers we've seen all year. And they only got like one hit off that, but you know, Rob Brantley, you know, he may have a future on this team. No, I'm just kidding. Yankees offense, a little stagnant this series. I'm not going to lie. Yankees have a tendency to not hit well in day games for some reason. I don't know if it's the heat or they don't like sunlight or whatever it is. But I mean, if you even in game one where they scored 7 runs, the only real clutch swing came from DJ LeMahieu. DJ LeMahieu grand slam. But other than that, I mean, they actually, other than that and Stanton, they, you know, they didn't look great this series. Judge obviously in game one of the doubleheader hits the home run off of Graveman. One of the most impressive swings I've seen all year. 97 right in on the hands, and he pulls it for 431 to left field. Really impressive stuff. You know, not many guys can do that. You look around the league, not many guys can pull a pitch like that and really stay behind the ball. And, you know, Judge continues to impress. Aaron Hicks got a couple hits this series, but still, I mean,
Does base running go in this category?
I mean, I'm going to include it. Aaron Hicks, I'm just going to say right now, Aaron Hicks was one of the reasons why we lost some of these games. I mean, what is it, the seventh inning where they get two guys on with one out and you get picked off as the tying run on second? I mean, that is unacceptable. It completely wipes the two hits that he got. No one cares.
Where are you going, buddy?
Where are you going? What are you doing? IKF, still having good at-bats, still staying hot.
Picked off at first.
Rizzo has also been getting some better swings out of it. He had a sack fly.
Really good at-bat.
I think I'm not really worried about the Yankees offense at all. I think they're gonna do just fine. They're allowed to have down series. Can't expect them to score 5 runs every game. I think that there's a couple cold bats in the lineup, but I'm really, really not worried right now.
I got some numbers to back up your day-night split.
Mm-hmm.
So the Yankees have played 16 day games this year. Their average is down. Oh, what's going on?
Oops. Oopsie.
Should come up.
Isaac broke the technology.
Well, I'm just going to read it to you. Day games, their average is down about 0.03.
Mm-hmm.
Day games, they hit .227. Night games, they hit .252. On bases down .314 compared to .329. Slugging is down .372 compared to .441. So
like, what do you expect?
Backing it up.
So what do you expect when they don't do well in day games? Now they have basically two in a day.
Because
I don't count that second game as a night game because it started. It's still
just
light
right
outside.
Straight
after. So that's like basically two day games. So like, honestly, the expectations were low from the beginning.
I'll start my timer.
It's a really weird thing, though, that they can't hit in the day.
It's weird.
It's really
annoying,
weird,
too. It's like a beautiful day out. You kind of want to just see some nice Yankees baseball.
And they never hit.
Lay an egg. All right, the offense. The Yankees were kind of set up for failure, especially the doubleheader. When you are down Higgy and Gallo to start the day, and then some old guys, they can't play 18 innings of baseball in one day, aren't they? They won't do that. So it's kind of rough when you're 6-9. Texted you last night how that was rough. I don't remember exactly what it looked like. It was like IKF 6, Marwin 7, Brantley 8.
Yeah, Florial. You're missing Florial.
Florial somewhere in there. Those four were the 6, 7, 8, 9 hitters. And then on top of that, you're going against one of the best starting pitchers in the American League right now. So kind of set up for failure there. Game one of the doubleheader, Judge gets that big home run against Kendall Graveman,
mm-hmm.
Only to be ruined by a certain left-handed relief pitcher. But, you know, Judge had 3 hits that game. It's really just Judge and Stanton and then Donaldson right now. I'm not going to say it, but Anthony Rizzo hasn't been Anthony Rizzo for a while now. I have his last 14 games up. He's hitting .196 at a .673 OPS. One home run in that span. So I'm not worried about Rizzo, but I would like him to get going again. It was really fun when he was good. Yeah. So
better at bats though recently.
No, really good at bat. That sack fly, he fouled off a bunch of tough pitches. Finally got something up he can drive. That's something you love to see. You talked about it last series, but even when Rizzo isn't on, he's giving you good at bats. Same with Judge. some people can't do that. So Hicks, two hits. The first one was a bloop single to left that he kind of mishit. The second hit was kind of nice. He took the pitch other way again to left field. But that doesn't allow you to start going crazy, going rogue on the bases, buddy.
It's good, like, it's good to see him drop, though. It's good to see him drop.
Okay. Yeah. I'm honestly a little done with Hicks. He's just so infuriating to watch sometimes.
And he always goes, after everything, he goes, fuck, fuck, fuck. Like, after he got picked off, he said, fuck. Like, dude, like, it's enough. Buddy, like, you suck. Like, why are you still, like...
And then there's a play in left field. I know this is an offense, but there's a play in left field where he just... Nestor looked like he was watching murder out there in left field.
Yeah.
He let a ball drop, turned it into a double or triple or something. I don't know, man. Hicks is pretty awful. Everyone else is, like... All right, my timer's up, but I'm just going to keep talking because this offense will turn around. They'll be fine. Really not worried about the series too much as in terms of how the Yankees are going to be. Like, this really doesn't change anything.
Like, but, let's be realistic. This is the second series they've lost all year.
Exactly. Like, they were.
If we're sitting here and crying, then we don't know anything about baseball.
They're still 28-12 with the best record in the AL. I don't know about the
MLB,
Dodgers.
I think, in the MLB, too.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, we're fine, but... Again, like we said last series, we're going to be nitpicking because that's what we do. So, yeah.
That's how we put the food on the table, even though we don't make any money off this, and I don't buy groceries.
But that's right.
Anyway, I do want to say really quick that we have to give a brownie points for the pitching and now for the hitting.
You were there, yeah.
So, I'm going to start with the starting pitching, and I'm going to give them a 4.5 out of 5. I thought that Nestor
really
could have
won bad pitch in the three games.
Yeah, I thought Nestor could have done a little better, but honestly, like, the starting pitching, like I said before, has been the backbone of this team.
Yeah.
Without them, we would not be in the position we are in right now. Seve and Tyone both going 7 with 5-plus strikeouts is incredible.
Do you like Tyone? I feel like Tyone would be a guy you target and become the next Monty type thing.
Tyone is growing on me a little bit. A little bit. The more I watch him pitch...
He kind of... had a big roar at the end of one of the
yeah,
games.
No, it,
I've and, never and seen that out of him.
Nothing gets me fired up too, like Seve roaring, and he always does the same
Seve's nice. Yeah, that hypes me up.
I mean, dude, it's starting to rain. Inject and, that and in my you got I mean, the inning where he had bases loaded and no outs and got out of it, pulled the Houdini trick, absolutely incredible. But anyway, that's old news. So what are your brownie points for starting pitching?
4.5.
4.5? Okay.
4.5's great. Yeah.
So for the offense, I'm gonna say other than Stanton and Judge and I guess DJ because of the grand slam, they really, really didn't hit this series. Like Ken said, though, they're facing one of the best pitchers in the AL. And the White Sox are a good team. They have a lot of guys coming out of the pen that throw gas and that have, you know, great plus stuff. So, you know, it's understandable. So I think I'm going to give them like a 2 out of 5 because I thought that it wasn't really a team effort from a hitting standpoint. I thought they could have been better.
2.5.
So yeah, 2.5 out of 5.
I'm going to give them, 1.5.
1.5. Okay.
It'll happen. I'm not mad or anything. I'm just looking at Glaber's numbers right now because you dropped him this morning or something. What's going on there?
I need to fill spots.
Talking a whole lot of shit last week, but here he is.
You can pick him up if you'd like. I got Chris Bryant coming off the IL, and last I think six Chris games, Bryant is a better player than Glaber.
Last six games, 191, 513 OPS, no homers, 1 RBI.
Yep. I mean, I love Glaber, but, you know.
Glaber's my guy. Can't see it's on the true. Camera, but yeah. And then what did you give for pitching? Your starting pitching? Do you give a 4.5? I gave 4.5, right? 4.5 and 2.5. I'm going 4.5 and 1. Okay. We can move on.
I think now we have to get into the bullpen, which is kind of
the brutal part of the day. All right. So, starting right
now. Yeah, I'm going to start with game one. Yankees bullpen, after being the reason why... One of the reasons why we won so many games has now let us down in the last, I'd say, 9 games. The last 2 series, the Yankees bullpen has been pretty goddamn awful. I'm not going to lie. If you want to find numbers to back me up exactly how bad they've been.
Tell me.
So I'll start with game one. The first time all year we've seen Michael King been bad.
I'm on the ESPN Olympics page right now.
Okay, so it's going to take a little time to get there. Michael King lets up two runs in his start on Saturday in the game. His stuff just wasn't moving, and you know, it could be the heat. It was 95 degrees in the Bronx.
Norway has 16 gold medals, by the way. Keep going.
And Lasagna too. Lasagna looked, he has not really looked right for the last like week or 2 weeks or so. The only bright spot in the Yankees bullpen once again is Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes, I think, should be the closer without a doubt.
I think he is.
I think especially after game one of the doubleheader, Chapman is just not right. Whether he's injured or something, they cannot continue to put Chapman in high leverage situations. They've got to either rest him, put him on the Phantom IL, or get him a clean inning. He's not to be trusted right now. But I'm a little surprised that Michael King and Johnny Lasagna, who also had a pretty awful game in the doubleheader too. Lasagna had two back-to-back days of not pitching great. Let me get his exact numbers. Or actually, here, let me look at his numbers. No, I got him.
He got him.
Lasagna lets up. Lasagna, yeah, he let up four earned runs in the Sevy game.
Three of them came on Miguel Castro's
home run. I mean, yeah. So Miguel Castro did let up the home run to Tim Anderson, but I mean, Lasagna put everyone in that situation. He is missing location with a lot of his stuff, and you see the catcher, Rob Brantley or any Yankees catcher, setting up middle, and his stuff is just not getting there at all. Miguel Castro obviously serves up the home run to Tim Anderson, and finally, we have to talk about the sore thumb on this team is Aroldis Chapman.
You have 3 seconds to talk about him.
I am going to use more than 3 seconds. In his last 15 games, Chapman is 0-2 with a 4.5 ERA. And he has let up 13 hits and he has 10 walks. He doesn't trust his fastball.
That's doable.
His fastball is not reaching anything near what he is capable of doing. And he's hanging sliders and splitters to everyone. And when you throw 95 instead of 98, 100, people are going to hit you. I think that Chapman needs to be either IL'd or he needs to be benched. Like you can't continue to put out the same product on the field if he keeps failing over and over again. In his last 7 games, even worse, he has a 9.53 ERA. And I know Ken knows this because he has him on his team, but I mean, 6 earned runs from your closer in how many games? In 7 games, almost averaging a run every single time he pitches is just unacceptable. For how much we pay him, for how much we're supposed to trust him, and it's just every time he gets in the game, it's just like a crapshoot. Is he gonna be able to throw a fastball above 97 for a strike? And that's frankly unacceptable. And I don't know what your rebuttal to that is gonna be, but I mean, if he's injured, then why is he playing? If the whole thing is, oh, he has an Achilles injury, okay, great, he has an Achilles injury, then he should not be out there. Like, why are we putting him out there? So, I mean, if that's your reasoning, then say so. But you can just start your timer. You can use your 2.5 minutes to defend Chapman if you like.
Are you rebuttaling something I haven't even said before?
No, yeah. I'm covering all bases because I know you're gonna start with some bullshit. Like, oh, he's injured. Blah 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 blah. But
our oldest Chapman.
Can't see you, by
the way. I just started my timer. Chappy, I'm gonna not waving the white flag yet per se, but I'm coming towards you a little bit. He's just not. It's clear as day. I don't even know if I need to say it. He's not on right now. To start the season, he hasn't been great. He has 9 saves with no blown saves. That was the poll I was leaning on most. But his FIP is at 4.96.
You're gripping on to those 9
he's
saves.
He's just been awful the last 2 weeks. Week and a half, and Chappie, I can't defend what you're putting out on the field right now. It's so deflating when Judge hits that big home run in the 8th inning to tie the game. Finally, come through. Stadium's going nuts, and then you have Chapman coming in, and you're just like poking 5 holes in a tight balloon. Like, it's just deflating.
That is a great analogy.
It's just terrible. Not only are you down 3-1, but it just feels like you've kind of lost the game there. So Chapman really needs to figure out. I don't know about the injury situation. As you said, if he's hurt, then he shouldn't be playing. It only hurts himself and his stats. So if that's what that's not, if that's what's happening, then Boone training staff, they got to figure something out. And now we're down Green. I need to talk about the whole bullpen as a whole. Green's down, which means a lot of guys need to step up now. Chapman and Green not being there right now. That's a big hole that needs to be filled. And my guy that can fill it, I think, is Clark Schmidt. He's okay. Been off to a great start this year. Mm-hmm. 11 innings, has only given up one earned run. Yep, one earned run, one home run. So he's in the bullpen. He got called up a few days ago. So I think he can have a huge impact on this team if he can just be used like a Michael King from last year, a couple years ago. Give you two innings when you need it, two, three innings. I think Clark can really step up here. Same with Lickie and Peralta. They have not been used at all for some reason. Wandy is like really high on the bullpen trust tree right now for a lot of Yankee fans. So,
but they don't play him, so it doesn't. I think, and then you can't be upset if he can't find the zone after not playing for 10 games.
He's been really good this year. 13 innings and 2 in runs.
He's been great.
I think Boone's now forced into. Shut up. Forced into pitching Wandy and Lickie now. Lickie had a clean inning in the game 2 of the doubleheader, game 3 of the series. And then Loaizaga really needs to figure out now. Like, there's pressure now for him to figure it out. 7.02 ERA. I know we talked a little bit about him last week, and you kind of swept it under the rug. But now he's up to 13 earned runs in 16 innings, and that confidence is a lot. He was hands down the best reliever we had last year. We had the utmost confidence in him, and now it's just, I don't know. He needs to figure out. What does it look to you?
It's a little, I don't really know. It reminds me a little bit of like 2019 Lasagna. It was like, oh my God, his stuff is amazing. How is he getting hit?
Yeah.
You know? And then I feel like I hope we were not fooled by last year. Like, oh, that was an outlier season, because to be honest, looking back at this, he's had three not great seasons followed by one incredible season.
Yeah.
And we were kind of starting to look at him as like the dominant guy in the Yankees bullpen, like the guy to go to. Before Clay Holmes came, everything, the sure thing was
like Jonathan is the closer after Chapman.
Is the closer. Yeah. So I think he's kind of in a weird spot, and I think it's because, you know, Clay Holmes, with all his success he's had so far, he's like maybe Loaizaga thought, that's my job. I'm the closer of this team last year. And then all of a sudden, now you got guys like Michael King and you got Clay Holmes who have just as nasty stuff as him, and they're kind of ahead of him in the trust tree now. And then he's kind of kicked back to that seventh inning role. And he may be feeling some type of way about that. So that could be something that we're working with, but he's really just missing location. His stuff has not changed. His stuff is still moving. His slider is still nasty. His sinker still moves about a foot at 100. He just really needs to figure out location.
Yeah. David Cone talked about it this on Sunday Night Baseball broadcast. He said his sinker looked more flat, horizontal movement, side to side movement, instead of his downward action. I was watching his pitches. I didn't really see that at all. I think his stuff looks the same. Game 1, he struck out the side, came in first and second, nobody out, and struck out the side with some nasty sinkers. So his stuff is obviously still there. His velocity is down a tick. That's just normal stuff. It's not anything alarming. So now the pressure is on for him to really get it going. Before, it was like, you get it going when you want to. We're winning every single game. But now we're down a couple guys. Some guys are starting to struggle. Loaizaga needs to step up and become, because right now it's Holmes and King and a bunch of question marks. So I hope Holmes doesn't get overused. He already has the most games pitched on the staff, and now we're going to be relying on him heavy. So,
and if you want to talk about there. Britton really quick,
Britton,
yeah.
Where's Britton at? I heard a couple last week that he was starting to throw, and he was getting ready to start throwing bullpens, and he was throwing at 120 feet and all this and that. And so if Britton can come back and be Britton, that's kind of
a long shot. So that could be still a little replacement for Chapman being the dominant lefty out of the pen. I mean, we do have Wandy and Lickie, but, you could maybe give Chapman some time to heal injury, whatever he's nursing. And you kind of slide Britton into that like eighth inning Chapman role, which is where I think he should be right now.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. I don't know if I said, did I mention this, that I think that Chapman should be like the seventh, eighth inning guy now?
You mentioned it. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I really think that Chapman just needs to focus on locating his fastball, you know, getting back to full health. And you know, this is the issue with Yankee fans. It's a lot of them are just close to come for his head after you know. I mean, to be honest, he's lost a lot of big games for us going back to the ALDS.
All right.
No. I think this is totally fair point. I mean, he's given up a lot of big home runs to in a lot of big spots. And I understand the thing because he's the closer. He's going to give a lot of big hits. Yeah, but, you know,
anything,
he's given up a lot recently in the last 3 years. So, yeah, I think he just needs a break, and I think he needs to rebound from injury, and I think he needs to work on his fastball command. And, you know, maybe in a month we see Chapman coming back, and we don't even remember having this conversation because he's throwing so well. But for the time being, you cannot keep putting him out there. And that's directly on Boone, I think, if you keep putting him out there. Because there's only so much a player can do. If he doesn't have it, he doesn't have it. Can't force him to have it. So, and brownie points, I'm going to give my brownie points really quick. I'm going to give them a 0.5 out of 5. And that's just because Clay Holmes is there. And Littke had a good performance, too. I know we didn't really cover Littke, but he had a pretty good inning
back yesterday. From that blow up and
so, yeah, and Wandy. Now, Wandy didn't pitch the series, did he?
No, I don't think so.
I would have liked to see him again, but I'm going to give him a 0.5 out of 5 on this series.
I'm just going to circle back to Britton real quick. I don't want to put too much expectations on him. He went through Tommy John surgery at 34 years old. The last time we saw him, he wasn't capable of pitching in any close. He went to Boone and asked to not be pitched in close situations the last time we saw him. And he had a high 5 ZRA last year in the limited action he got, so we can't expect too much out of him, but it would be a great bonus piece to add later in the season. So I'm going to give him 1 just because that game 1, I know King gave up 2 runs, but we didn't talk about King at all. But anyway, yeah, I'm not worried about him. In game 1, King let up the 2 runs, but after that, 3 guys came in, had scoreless outings. But other than that, again, Holmes is amazing, but can't go any higher than 1 brownie point.
Yep.
So, Yankees drop a series. 9-9 series. If anyone's at all frustrated or... because I've seen some comments now. Those people that, like, start shitting on the Yankees all of a sudden, like, they're waiting for this. They're in the weeds, just waiting for the Yankees to fail and come out and just start bashing anyone they see.
It's incredible to me that some fans watch their team to shit on them.
Yeah.
Like... mm-hmm. They have nothing to say when they're successful, or they're nitpicky when they're successful. And then as soon as they drop a series, drop a game, they're all, you know, the fire engine's going. There's, you know, the blinking lights, everyone's panic. Like, guys, like, we're allowed to lose a series here. You know, yeah. It's a really long season.
We're going to lose a couple series.
We're going to lose some series. That's just part of what happens. And there's, you know, there's hot periods and there's slumps and... you know, I know some of you may watch football, so you don't understand this, but this is how baseball works. I've been watching baseball my whole life, and it's nothing to freak out about. You know, maybe they drop a couple series in a row, then we start having conversations. Like, okay, this is a little worrying now.
Yeah.
But right now, we're in a good spot, so
great spot.
I don't think anyone should be talking shit right now, too early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, be ready for it. Stan's going to go through his stretch of just not hitting at all. Judge will go through his slump. Give it some time. This team is still great. Like, I have pretty good confidence in this team still. It hasn't wavered at all. My over 94 win pick is looking great. On pace for, like, 115, so. There's that. Yeah, now what? The Orioles come into town for 3. I think we're planning to go to game 3, so hopefully that's a good one.
I hope they lose the first one, though.
It's cold today.
I hope they lose one of them. All right, because guys, you know what?
Isaac wants the Yankees to lose
if
today.
If they win both 2 games, you know we're gonna get the Rob Brantley lineup. So
that's true.
So
I mean, that's your guy. What you just said you wanted to you don't want to
sorry,
see him in the
flesh. Sorry. That's the Estevan Florial lineup. How's that?
Yeah. I like him.
You like him?
I like him over Hicks right now.
Who gets the rest day today?
Rest day today?
I know who it is. You don't know who it is?
I don't know who it is.
Think about who didn't play yesterday.
Gallo. He has COVID.
No. Think Donaldson. Again. Yeah. So where does Donaldson go? Where does
he
Donaldson
plays third play? Base.
So you're Easy. Saying, I would say Stanton gets the day off today.
No, can we not do day offs when Gallo's hurt? That means Florial and Hicks are playing.
Oof. So maybe not then, but.
I mean, it's the Orioles. We should be.
If anyone's getting the day off, I think it's Stanton today.
Yeah. Okay. We didn't do golden egg, rotten egg.
I think it's pretty.
I'm going to give my rotten egg to Donaldson. Because I think not just of what he said on the field, but he might have impacted losing. Okay. Yankees were on a roll, and Donaldson comes in, starts some stuff. And Tim Anderson comes in and hits that big three-run home run. So.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I think single-handedly, Aroldis Chapman and Yikes. Aaron Hicks lost a game for us out of the series. I think getting picked off at second there and misplaying balls in the outfield, I think – Aaron Hicks and Chapman are both responsible for the loss. So, I gave my rotten egg to Hicks last series, and I can't double up. That's too many rotten eggs. Could. So, I'm going to go Aroldis Chapman. He needs to figure it out.
That's mean.
Five straight appearances with runs let up out of your elite closer that you're paying, what, $15 million, $10 million for? $17 million for.
It's Achilles hurt.
So, yeah, it's going to be Aroldis Chapman, I'm afraid to say. And for the golden egg, on a positive note, I'll start off. I think it's got to be Seve for me.
Okay.
I think Seve absolutely shoved. Obviously, robbed me of a player of the game pick. But, I mean, Seve, I'm so happy for Seve. I wanted him to do so well this year. I'm just like, Seve's the ultimate guy that I'm rooting for every time.
Yeah.
I just want him to do well. And I think he had the best pitching performance of since 2018, I think.
Probably, yeah.
So claps for Seve. It sucks that it comes on a day that the Yankees lose terribly. But yeah, Seve has my pick for that one.
For my golden egg, I really do want to go Chapman, but he wasn't great. So I'm going to go with J-Mo. Starting pitching was amazing. Judge has a case, but J-Mo, seeing him like that, that gets me going. So, love to see that. We got Cole, Monty, Nestor, I think, right?
We need, you know, we really need a sweep of the Orioles here. That would feel really, really, really good.
Yeah. Then that would mean that or the Yankees got to win tonight.
Yep.
Which you rooted against. Random question of the day. 2023 draft, Isaac Springer is drafted in the first round, top five pick. You get a $5 million bonus. What are you spending your first $1 million on? You could take some time. Car?
I don't need time. All right. I would get a Porsche 911 Turbo S.
How much is that?
Around 200 grand.
Okay, you got 800 left.
So I'm not going to do... I'm just about to spend a million?
You have to spend a million, yeah. Oh. What are you spending your first $1 million on?
Okay, so then I'm going to get a Porsche. No, I'm going to get a, here, let me look. I'm going to get a Porsche 918 Spyder.
Okay.
Let me see the price of that. That actually might be a million. 918.
That's not a million. So you're spending your first million on a
million
car.
Dollar Porsche. Well, let's
Is
look at the price.
Is that responsible?
No, not at all.
I think Julie's asking for a little bit of change.
Oh, yeah. I'll pay off her Green Meadow Waldorf School debt. Okay, 845K. So I have 200 left to spend.
155.
I write my mom a check for 50 grand.
Okay. Very nice thing to do, but now Martin's a little upset.
I write my dad a check for 50 grand.
Okay. Good.
Well, they share money. They're married.
Okay, I mean,
so.
Then give them 50. You don't say your mom.
I pay off my car. I still owe.
Now you have a spite of whatever.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I pay off the car payments for my car currently.
Okay. And then you sell it.
And then I go on vacation too. And then the rest I invest in a mutual fund. Okay. So about 75K I invest in a mutual fund.
Okay. Is that smart spending, guys?
Yes.
Let us
because,
know in the comment section.
Because that is a retirement account, but we're not going to talk about that because this is a Yankees pod.
I mean, what we heard last week on the episode is that you're a very smart spender and you don't really have any...
Well, this is a hypothetical, no?
No, I know, but your first million is going to a car, so...
Yeah. Love me some... And also, but you know what's Porsche. Smart about this car? You know how
you
most
get a really nice car for like 150K? Like
yeah.
A really, really nice car.
Do you
want to
know
car.
Something about this car?
You really don't
want to know something about this car?
50,000.
Do you want to know something about this car?
Sure.
Do you know how most cars depreciate?
Yeah.
This car appreciates. So this is an investment. Okay. This car, $845 right now, in 2 years, it'll be $1 million. So I'll have just made $200,000.
If you actually got a $5 million signing bonus to play baseball, would your mom or parents let you do that?
Let me play baseball?
No, let you buy a car for
probably not.
Okay, good, good. Nah,
Julie would say, hell no. She's like, she put that money in the bank.
Yeah, smart. Listen to your mom. All right, guys. Thank you guys for listening. And go Yanks. We'll be back on Wednesday night, hopefully, after the stadium. Maybe we'll come. I don't know how we're doing that, but we'll be driving back some. Hopefully, it's a good series. Offense comes alive. Rugi doesn't do anything stupid. I'm excited to see Rugi, actually.
Me too.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back.
Thanks, peace, guys.